Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on her cloak. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter. Your faith has saved you." From that hour, the woman was cured. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. And news of this spread throughout all that land. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we can ponder three responses in faith to the presence of God and to the way He manifests that presence. First reading, we have that scene at what would be called Bethel, literally in Hebrew, house of God. Jacob, as he was traveling to go look for his wife, he slept there, laid his head on a stone, would have seemed just like any other stone. And even though the Lord's is the earth in its fullness, there are special ways that God inhabits in places more intimately, places that are consecrated to Him. We're never going to be able to have a sense of God everywhere unless we have a sense of God somewhere. And as he was sleeping there, he had the dream we heard about in the first reading. God spoke to him, "I'm the God of your grandfather, Abraham, God of your father, Isaac, and the land on which you're lying I will give to you and your descendants. It will be a holy land." Jacob awoke from sleep and exclaimed, "Truly the Lord is in this spot." Solemn wonder, he cried out, "How awesome is this shrine! This is nothing else but an abode of God, and that is the gateway to heaven." One of my great devotions is to visit beautiful churches. I do it all over the world. I'm not a collector of anything, because you can't take really anything through the eye of a needle. But I do have an awesome collection of the guidebooks of the most beautiful churches all around the world. When I was a pastor, on occasion, in order to escape from the day-to-day, I would just visit Chartres, or I'd go back to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, or I'd enter into details of St. Peter's that I never had much of a chance to focus on. And in one of the churches along the way that I had visited, I can't even remember which one, they had these words in Latin, "Truly, the Lord is in this spot," although I didn't know it. "How awesome is this shrine! It's nothing else but God's abode and the gateway to heaven." I always said if I were to build a church, that would be over the frontispiece. We should remember as we come on in, for example, to this chapel, that the Lord is in this spot. That this little chapel is awesome, literally something that should make us tremble with a holy fear. It's what to be filled with awe is. It's nothing else but the abode of God. It could serve as many other purposes, perhaps. But what it is in its deepest sense is God's dwelling place. And it is a gateway to heaven. It is on top of this altar that we have that stairway where God's angels are coming up and going down. We need to have the eyes of faith opened up to have this type of sensitivity so that we will be able to exclaim what Jacob exclaimed. There are times in this chapel that you might sleep, unintentionally of course, but you won't be able to fight it off. This is a place though where the Lord wants you to share His dreams. His dreams for you was dreams for the salvation of everyone, dreams that will become reality provided that we live according to what He reveals. That holiness of the place that would become the shrine, would become a temple dedicated to the Lord, we see in today's gospel. We heard this gospel 8 days ago in St. Mark's much longer version that has various details that aren't included by St. Matthew in his. But in essence, this woman with the hemorrhage went up to touch God's dwelling place, God's holiness, the fulfillment of all the longing for the temple. When Jesus was asked for a sign, He said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days rebuild it." And they didn't realize He was talking about the temple of His body. And the woman with 12 years of this hemorrhage, who had spent all her money on doctors, St. Mark tells us, come on up and said, "If I could just touch the outermost thread of this temple's garment, I will be cured. Something will happen to me that the best doctors on which I've blown my whole savings couldn't do." Likewise, we see the power of the touch of Jesus at the very end of the scene when He touches this little girl who is dead, not sleeping, and raises her from the dead. "Little girl, I say to you, arise." That word "arise" is the same word for resurrection in Greek. That when Jesus comes and really touches us, He gives us His resurrection. He brings us into His holy risen life. You know, we know in this scene that Jesus is walking in the midst of a huge crowd that was rushing, that the little girl hadn't yet died. She would die along the way, frankly, because of the importunity of this woman with the hemorrhage. As Jesus is basically driving His ancient ambulance, she crawls in the middle of the crowd, risking being stampeded to death, in order to just touch the outside of His garment. And then Jesus slams on the brakes and says, "Who touched me?" In a Jewish crowd, then everybody would have touched Him. Everybody would have been banging into Him. But Jesus knew that someone had touched Him in a way no one else had touched Him. And He wanted to do something. He wanted to incorporate that person far more deeply into the contemplation, into His temple, so that she could become a temple, than had happened up until that point. When this woman finally came up and was afraid because of her effusion of blood, she would have made Jesus ritually impure, and anybody else she would have touched along the way of getting to Jesus ritually impure, such that in order to enter into the temple, they would have had to have gone through all of these ritual ablutions. Jesus showed her something very important, that every physical cure was a prelude to a spiritual cure. And that spiritual cure happens through a relationship with Jesus. And that's the essence of worship. And so Jesus, after she had told Him everything, said, "Go, be healed of your affliction, your faith has saved you." He gave her an even greater miracle than relieving her decade plus illness. Likewise with this little girl and with her dad, Jairus, the synagogue official, allowed them, through touching Jesus, the Holy One, to enter into a new place in their own spiritual life. And all of these apply to the way we look at ourselves and the way we look at each other. Jesus has touched us through the sacraments. He's touched us in faith. He's saved us, literally, through that gift, precisely so that we could be His holy abode. So that when I look at you, and you look at me, and you turn and elbow each other, you would be able to say, truly the Lord is with you, although perhaps I didn't know it. How awesome is this shrine, this walking temple of the Lord. You are nothing else other than an abode of God. You are a gateway to heaven. St. Paul will tell us that you are God's temple. You've been bought at such a great price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in that holy place, in that awesome shrine, in that divine abode, in that gateway to heaven. Maria Goretti, even at the age of 11, had an inchoate sense of what this was all about. When Alessandro Serinelli, so the 18-year-old family member of the family with whom the Gorettis had to share a home in Nettuno after the Goretti father had died, and they were basically poor. Maria was the second of six kids, and she was the eldest girl, so she had to care for the younger children as the mom and the others were out in the field trying to survive. And Alessandro, who was lazy and a little bit slow, Alessandro was attracted by Maria, and he had tried to seduce her on numerous occasions, she said, on her deathbed. But she resisted. She never told her family because the Gorettis were, in essence, recipients of the generosity of the Serinellis. She didn't want her mom to suffer anymore. It was on that day, as she was stitching on the top of her stairs with her little sister Maria Teresa next to her, that Serinelli brought her into the home and tried to rape her. She, with a real sense of her dignity as a temple of God, said no, that would be a sin. And she reminded Alessandro of the consequences. You could go to hell for this. And when he tried to rip off her clothing, she started to scream, panicking that he would be caught. He had this long awl, and he stabbed her 14 times. Stabbed her through her pericardium, stabbed her through her heart, stabbed her through her lungs, pierced her diaphragm, and left her there bleeding. Her younger sister, Maria Teresa, was crying like crazy. Eventually, Alessandro's dad and Maria's mom heard the cries and was wondering why Maria Goretti wasn't caring for her younger sister, who was obviously crying. And when they came in, they found her in a pool of blood. They raced her to the hospital, but it was too late. It would take her almost 24 hours to die. She would be operated on without anesthesia. When the police came to interview her, in the presence of her mom, she described everything that had been occurring, and that it was Alessandro. And there, unbidden, she said, please tell him that I forgive him. She died. 3 years, Alessandro was a bitter, 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 bitter young man in prison. Until one day, Maria Goretti appeared to him in a dream, just like God had appeared to Jacob in a dream in today's first reading, and was giving him flowers, giving him real signs of her purity, as well as her love. And when Alessandro awoke, he was a changed man. He knew that he wasn't as wicked and that he shouldn't hate himself and everybody else as he had up until that point. That if Maria loved him and Maria could forgive him, then he could love himself. He could recognize that God loved him, and he could live in God's mercy. He would have been sentenced to life in prison, but because of his mental capacity at the time, they sentenced him, as if he were a minor, to 30 years in jail. But for the last 24 years, he was released 3 years early for good behavior. He was a model prisoner. As soon as he got out of jail, he went to see Maria's mother, Assunta. Knocked on the door, asked if she knew who he was. She said yes. And he said, I'm here just to beg for your forgiveness for taking your daughter's life. And Assunta said, if my daughter could forgive you, how could I withhold forgiveness? And she said, I want you to do something, Alessandro, because she knew that Alessandro wouldn't be able to survive there, having killed this holy girl. So she said, I want you to come to church with me tomorrow. And it would be Christmas Eve. It was there, having spoken to the pastor, that she got up and she asked everybody there in the duo to forgive Alessandro as Maria, her daughter, had. And they did. He was a changed man. He eventually became a Capuchin porter, Capuchin brother. And he died a very holy death in 1970. And he was present in St. Peter's Square in 1950 for the first canonization ever held outside because so many people wanted to come. Maria Goretti teaches us today not only about who we are as temples of God, she teaches us about the incredible gift of God's mercy. That is the way that we adore the Lord most. So we come forward to receive the great gift of the Lord that constitutes us as the temple of His glory, that makes us a tabernacle, that makes us a walking monstrance on a Corpus Christi procession throughout the entire rest of the day. We ask through her holy prayers that we might grasp, as she did, how holy we are, how holy we're called to be, and how we're supposed to treat others with this incredible gift of reverence. Truly, the Lord is in this spot. Although I didn't know it, how awesome is this gift that the Lord has given in making me His shrine. This is nothing else other than the abode of God and the gateway to heaven. As we receive this Eucharist, let's climb up that ladder, lifting up our hearts and our whole lives, so that one day we might experience with Maria the full joy of heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.